Amen. Lord, let's just pray and say thank you for God. Lord, we really want to come and give you the honor and the praise that is due to you, Lord, for your faithfulness and the power of your gospel, Lord. And in all of these things, Lord, this morning, we give you the honor. It's nothing on us, Lord. It's nothing who we are. We know it's Christ in us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the ministry that you have done through your body, Lord, in India, in Mozambique, and here in New Montaigne. We thank you, Lord, that you have used us, Lord, although you do not need us, you choose us. And we thank you for that, Lord. May you be glorified through every test this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now can I not pray? But I'll really keep it short. When I came back from, I'm gonna just share a little bit also from India throughout the sermon. When I came back from India, the people asked me, how was India? And I couldn't say. I was like, oh Lord, there were so many things I don't know. I can't say this. One thing that really stood out for me. And then one morning, actually, one of my friends in Cape Town, he was here last year, Stefan, he just sent me a voice note, and he said in the voice note, he said, yo, Jacobus, it's really amazing to take good news to people who've never heard about it. And then in that moment, I realized, shucks, that was really the one thing that really stood out for me, that that really changed my life. So this morning I just quickly want to share about this good news that we have received. Amen. Each one of us. We have heard the good news. We've tasted it. We've seen it in our lives. I want to start by reading John 1. If you have your Bibles, you can please read with me because I don't have all of the scriptures on. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to be a witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 40. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This scripture really, when I was preparing, this scripture just came into my heart. And that through Jesus, I said there, we received grace upon grace. And Jesus came to bring us not the law anymore, but he came to bring us truth and grace. John 3 verse 17 said, for Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He did not come to say, oh, you're so bad, you must go to hell. He came to save them. And therefore we, teams that went to these missions, we could go and tell that people, listen, we are here today to bring you grace and truth. We are here to bring you good news. News that you've never heard in your life. Those people in those villages that for generations, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they were blinded. happening by the devil. They were following other rituals. They were following false gods, false worship. And here the Lord is sending us, a small team from Bloemfontein, to go and bring them the truth and tell them about the grace that Jesus has. And this was just something in my spirit. I could not, it's amazing. It's such an honor, it's such a privilege to carry this gospel in my life, to carry this good news. There's so many people still here today that do not know about this good news, who do not understand. They are still fallen in their sin and in their fallenness. And this was just, the Lord brought me back to this place of just opening my eyes so that I can discover this good news. In Luke 4 verse 18, we see that the Lord was anointed, Jesus was anointed to bring good news to the poor. There was an anointing to bring that. And then Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 7, before I read this, I really want to testify also from the mission what the Lord has done. It was in that village where you saw in the video of the Bible. Okay? Now, this village, they were really in lots of ancestral worship. Okay, they were really strongholds. There was a massive stronghold of false worship, idols, they were totally against just Christ. And the Lord this morning gave me scriptures about false idols and worship, things like that. And the day really need to repent on. I felt in my spirit actually that like there was a warning in my spirit to tell these people, listen, if you continue in doing this, God despises this. He hates it when there's false idols, where He is not the one God in their lives. And then that morning, the Lord led us into really repentance on behalf of this village. And for hours we were just praying, and the Lord showed us like specific things where we need to repent of. And then at the end, we just started declaring what Christ came to do for them, and the victory that He brought them, and the freedom, and the forgiveness, for His blood forgave them. Although they are deceived, Jesus' blood forgave them for everything that they've done wrong. And then on the top of the village, we planted a cross, and then the Lord led me to go to the gate of this village to plant the Word of God. Because the biggest thing that we've seen that the Lord showed us is that this village was consecrated wrongly. It wasn't consecrated for God, but for false idols, false worship. And, that's not good. So we planted the Word, and it was so prophetic and so powerful. And then that afternoon we went to house, and every house that we went into, the people just turned. People turned. And we could see the power of the gospel really manifested in this. It wasn't persuading the people saying, listen, you must stop that, you must turn. It was just really, we brought the gospel, we brought the truth, we brought the grace, and the people, the conviction came into their hearts. Why? Because the ground was ready. The Word of God was on that foundation. Was that. And then in that village, we really had awesome time of that. And I could, the next scripture I'm really going, is that gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Our gospel is full of power, you see? How it full of power, gospel. Guys, we do not have to be ashamed of this message, this good news that we are carrying. I prayed before the mission, I said, Lord, please, Lord, I don't want to persuade the people. I don't want to beg the people to turn to You. I know that Your gospel is full of power. Amen? It has power to break years and years and years of traditions and culture. It has power to break them. One of the new we just spent down that house. And therefore I'm so confident in my spirit, who I am with the gospel of Christ. Because I can see, how the gospel manifests in people's lives, and they turn away from their wickedness. They turn completely from their former ways to follow Jesus wholly and fully. And be good witness of it. Guys, you know, in each one of us, that gospel is there. Jesus has given each one of us that message in our hearts, the good news. And it's a simple message, but there's so much power in that message. Imagine you, right? Imagine you were brought up in a village in those mountains for hundreds or thousands of years. Then India is one of the oldest nations in the world. So for literally thousands of years, those people were just following the ancestral things and what their mother and their father and Hinduism. And here we come in one afternoon. You see the gospel, the power of that gospel in those things that is being preached. Can you see that? It's really amazing, this gospel that we have. We see also in Paul's life, I just quickly want to look there at Paul's life, what happened in his life when Jesus encountered him. In Acts 9 we see, but in going it happened as he drew near to Damascus, even suddenly a light from the heaven shone around him, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the ghost. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what do you have for me to do? The Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you shall be taught what you must do. That's an encounter of the gospel. Now, do you agree? Paul had an encounter with Jesus, with the gospel, with the truth. For many years, he was against the truth. And in one moment, he had an encounter with the gospel of Jesus himself. And that changed him completely. He stood up. He trembled and he was astonished. He trembled and he was astonished about Jesus and about that word that Jesus spoke to him in his heart. He knew it was the truth. He knew it was Jesus speaking. And that changed him. And I pray, Lord, I want such an encounter. I want such an encounter with your gospel, with the truth that you have given me. And I will stand up and say, Lord, what must I do? In a moment, when you read your word, when you read the word of God, we have become so comfortable. I feel we have become so comfortable with the message of the gospel. We've lost in our Western church, we've lost that power. We want, there's the gospel where we have all of the add-ons. But the center, the gospel message, has become vague in our spiritual lives. We've lost that ability just to believe and run with that. We see also, we know in Isaiah 62 verse 1, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness. The salvation is a burning torch. And the apostles, they caught them and said, you must keep silent, you mustn't say this. And then they said in Acts 4, it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen. And they could not keep silent. They could not keep silent. And I just, this morning, I really want to ask us, what are we doing? This good news in our lives. Are we keeping silent, just holding it to ourselves? Are we proclaiming? Are we sharing every day we go? Are we bringing? There's nothing wrong. We were last this year. We were at the leadership development weekend, and then Andre said, "There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed that we have received. That gospel seed." There's nothing wrong with it. We must just go and take it. We must bring it to the people. We must share it to the people. We must believe in that. That we believe in that. If somebody comes in here this morning and he runs to that door and he says, where's Alistair Kimball? And he raises his hand. He says, Alistair, I have good news for you. You have just won 2 billion rand. What will be the response of that? He will put it on Facebook, and he will share with his family, and he will call Esther, and he'll tell everybody, yes, you know what just happened this morning? I just want 2 billion rand to build a church for us. Our church. You see, but the response of that and the message of that good news, he will not keep silent of that. Amen? He will spread it as far as it goes. You'll even be in the newspaper, on TV, and everywhere. What was our response to the gospel when we have heard it the first time? Did we go and run to the people and tell them, yeah, the Lord has saved me. The Lord has saved me. He has forgiven me. He has given me eternal life. Or was it just, I'm a Christian, like going on to life. And I feel this morning the Lord wants to do something just within us. I was reading the prodigal son story the other day again. For the first time this struck me, this scripture. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and we know that, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. But verse 23 struck me. It says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be men. And then also I was remembered of the woman who lost the coin. And when she found it, she had a massive feast and a celebration of that. And this morning I feel that the Lord wants to have a feast and a celebration with us here sitting. For we were lost and we are saved. We have come from darkness into light. We need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate that which God has done in us. We forget that. We go on in our life. There's so many struggles, so many stuff. Oh, I can't do this, and I struggle with this. But I believe if we continue celebrating that fattened calf, the Lord wants to give it this morning to us. He wants to have a feast because we are in the house. We have been saved. We are from death into life. Amen? So let's celebrate that this morning. Let's celebrate the fact that we are not slaves of this world anymore. We are not slaves to sin, but we are sons of the Most High God. We are priests, we are the royal priesthood. We represent God on this earth. That gospel is in us, the good news is in us. So let's all stand this morning. And I don't know how we're going to do this, but I know that God wants us to do it. So, I feel like the Lord really wants to come and restore that joy of our salvation. But the same, the same way we will go and Alistair will go out and say, oh, I just want $2 million. The same way we will go into our workplaces, into our classrooms, into our, wherever we go and say, yo, you know what? Jesus has saved me. I can't keep silent. I can't keep quiet. He has given me the fattened calf, yes. You know, because it's a father that gave that son the fattened calf and killed him and said, let's be merry. It's a father. God is our father. He wants us to be merry. Not drunk. He wants us to be merry about our salvation. He wants us to know it and to celebrate and to be full of passion for that. For joy, for he is truly worthy of that. So I believe we must pray for each other at this point. To really celebrate that, the fact that we have been saved. Come to the feast this morning. Enjoy the feast of our salvation. That is what that fattened calf speaks about. It's about the feast of the salvation. Knowing that God has chosen to be his son. God has chosen to be his son and daughter ever and ever. So the band can go up this morning. Joy. Let's come to that place of wonder again. Must as you be full of joy for this good news that we have received in our hearts. Can we ask that, if you want to respond to that this morning, to come to the front, to say, Lord, I'm coming to the feast, I'm coming to be hearing this morning about my salvation. Come into that in your heart. Can't be silent. Please just come to the front, and then we're going to pray, we're going to celebrate you, we're going to dance again this morning for what the Lord has done in our life. See this as a, maybe you've been saved for many years, but see this as a testimony this morning, coming to the front and saying, Lord, for many years I've been saved, for many years you're good to me, this morning I rejoice again for my salvation. See this as a memorial that you're building even this morning. To come into that sharing place, to that pattern of God. To say, Lord, for many years, you've been so wonderful in my life. This morning again, I want to rejoice of my salvation. I want to be full of joy for what you have done for me on the cross. We can just, those people, let's just pray for each other also this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the memorials that are being built this morning. For we come to you to give you glory this morning, Lord. The years and years and years of faithfulness, Lord. Some of us, we've been saved from school. And we forgot, Lord, that moment. We forgot. We've become so Christianese, Lord, in everything that we've done. We've just gone on with life, Lord. But this morning we stop, Lord, and we come to you and we say, Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor.